Dan Riccio and Randy Janda. Happy to be joined now by Adam Kimmelman, Deputy Managing Editor of NHL.com and the host of the NHL Draft Class podcast. To follow him on Twitter at NHL Adam K. Thanks for doing this, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. So who's that team for you? The most, the craziest, the wildest, the most aggressive team ahead of the draft on Friday?
Well, I think it's the Chicago Blackhawks. I think they sort of have the keys to this thing. You know, everybody sort of has a real good feeling what's going to happen at number one, number two. And at number three, there's about, you know, seven, eight, nine guys even. You could seriously consider going in that number three spot. And Chicago's got all the options. If there's a guy that they like, that they think they can get a little bit lower in the draft, they could always trade back. They can take a guy and, you know, they're going to control what happens over the next six, you know, seven rounds, whatever they do at number three, however they approach that situation. So for me, that's really the intrigue of what's going to happen coming up here. For me, just purely from the draft, from what's going to happen Friday night, what are they going to do at number three?
Even beyond the draft, though, as well, is that a team right now you're looking at and saying, wait, you know, Jonathan Toews getting a little bit older, Patrick Kane, that window's still kind of there for them to win. Could they be an aggressive team across the board this offseason?
Well, absolutely. They're going to look to improve, and they're going to look to take what they have left with Kane and Toews and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook and Corey Crawford and see how much more they can wring out of that group. You know, the trade for Olli Maatta certainly addresses a need for, you know, a quality veteran defenseman who can play, you know, do a couple of different things for them. Maybe they'll look to continue to try to find veterans who are still, you know, guys with a little bit of experience who can still contribute more in a present tense versus trying to add more younger players and build for the future. Because look, you know, those guys aren't getting any younger. They're all 30 plus. I think Keith is 35. So you want to win now while those guys are still able to contribute, while, you know, somehow balancing adding in younger guys behind them. So that's sort of the trick there that Stan Bowman's trying to pull off. And it's going to be interesting to see his approach and what he tries to do, not just, you know, while we're all in Vancouver, but, you know, moving forward towards July 1st and then after.
So it seems consensus at this point that it's going to be Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, number one and two for the draft. So it has a lot of people thinking for a while now that the draft starts at number three. But the more mock drafts I look at, Adam, the more people I see saying almost consensus that it's going to be Alex Turcotte in that number three spot. Do you believe that as well?
Well, when I did my mock draft, he was the guy I had going in there. So I guess I'm part of a rapidly growing crowd. But I just think number one's a premium position. Center, you know, you want to build a championship team, you build through the middle. And with Jonathan Toews, they have a great building block there. Not that Alex Turcotte's going to step in at 18 and be their number two center, but you can envision one, two seasons down the line, if things go the way they're going and his development continues on the path that it's gone on to this point, he's going to have a chance to be a really solid NHL player. He's got, obviously, you know, he missed a little bit of time this season, so the viewings on him were not as robust as other guys. But I talked to Mark Kelly, the Blackhawks director of amateur scouting. He said they saw him real early in the season before he got hurt. He had a lower body injury that kept him out for, I believe it was 22 games. They saw him late at the under-18 tournament. He wasn't quite himself. He was battling mono. But what they saw, they really liked. And if you look at what he did when he was healthy, he averaged 1.68 points per game. Now, that might not sound like very much, but it was number two on that NTDP team that could have five guys go in the top 10 or top 11. So that's a pretty talented group. And the only guy who averaged more on a point per game basis than Turcotte was Jack Hughes. So, you know, he's going to go to University of Wisconsin. He's going to get a little bit bigger. He's going to get a little bit stronger. There's also the allure of picking a kid from the Chicago suburbs who grew up idolizing Jonathan Toews. There's something to be said for that. So you look at it, there's a couple of different boxes that he checks off. He's a center. He's a dynamic offensive player. He's a local guy. He understands the mentality and the mindset of what they're building there in Chicago. And he's a heck of a player. So I think, to me, there's a lot of things that work in Alex Turcotte's favor. But that's not to say that the Chicago Blackhawks could have an entirely different opinion on it. You know, Bowen Byram, the defenseman from Vancouver of the Western Hockey League, might be the third most talented player in this draft after Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko. Now, the Blackhawks have drafted defensemen with their first two picks last year and the year before that in the draft. So do you want to spend another high pick on a defenseman? I don't know. But if he's the third most talented player in the draft, how do you pass on him? So there's a lot of guys that, you know, you could see going in that spot, whether it's Turcotte, whether it's Bowen Byram, whether it's Kirby Dock from Saskatoon, whether it's Dylan Cousins from Lethbridge, even the Russian forward Vasily Podkolzin would be an interesting choice in that spot, and certainly a player who can help them. Have to have a little more patience on Podkolzin, but there's a lot of guys that could go in that number three spot. For me, though, I'm thinking it's Turcotte.
Well, another player maybe farther down that list that plays for the U.S. National Development Team program is Trevor Zegras, and he's an unbelievable player in terms of his playmaking. There are some questions of whether, you know, he'll have that type of time to operate, and can he pull off that same stuff in the NHL in terms of that creativity? What are your thoughts on Zegras and the skill that he brings?
Well, I think it's there's a swagger to Zegras that you don't really see in a lot of players, where he's willing to try those certain, whether it's, and I think he made a statement, I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit, where a behind-the-back pass is just a pass to him. That's you know, some interesting swagger, some interesting, you know, confidence in your game. And look, he's going to try it. And it might not always work at the higher levels, but I think he's got the courage to try it. And I think he's got the skill to figure out how to do it and how to function and how to make his skill set work at the next level. Look, he produced, you know, against older competition. That's, I think a lot of people maybe lose sight of when you look at the NTDP and who they play, they're playing guys that are 2 and 3 and 4 years older than them, NCAA Division I colleges, more physically developed, and a lot of these guys are able to not just hang with that level, but dominate at that level. So I think when you see those numbers and you try to project them to the next level, it gives you a pretty good indication of what they could be able to do if their development stays on path. He's going to go to college. He's going to have that chance to continue getting bigger, getting stronger. He's going to continue fine-tuning those skills and working on, you know, okay, if it might, what works here might not work there, but if I tweak it, I can make it work for me. He's a smart kid. He's a confident kid. He's a coachable kid. I think he's a versatile kid also. So, you know, he played a lot on the wing this season, so he's got a chance to play both positions. He's a dedicated player. I think he'll do what it takes to figure out how to be a productive NHL player when that time comes.
Adam Kimmelman, NHL.com, joining us. So when we look at this National Development Team program, there's so many good players here in this first round that are going to get drafted from there. We've kind of asked the question at times, you know, do certain players on this roster maybe get boosted, inflated, because they've all played with such talented players and that helps their value, or it makes it harder to evaluate them? But maybe there's a flip side, too, of maybe some guys are getting overlooked because they didn't get as big of an opportunity because they were playing behind a Zegras and Hughes and so on and so forth. How do you go about evaluating the players that are coming off of this team and are going to be drafted in this first round here?
You know, I've had the chance to ask a lot of scouts that pretty much that exact question. How do you – it's like a traveling all-star team, right? You've got 17 guys – including the goalies on Central Scouting's final rankings. You had 17 that were at the combine. It's three quarters of their roster that are ranked that high that they're invited to the scouting combine. It's a pretty amazing group. So there are guys who are going to go on to nice NHL careers who couldn't get off the third line and couldn't get on the power play because they were boxed out by a Jack Hughes, a Cam York, a Trevor Zegras, a Matthew Boldy, a Cole Caulfield. These guys are good players. They just didn't have the same opportunity. So when they go to college, you're projecting, and then when they get to college, you're hoping they continue where they go from, you know, a third-line guy to maybe a first-line guy to maybe a first power play guy. And you kind of hope that their development will go with more opportunities. So it is hard to watch those guys and to say, well, okay, I know he only did X, but what if he got to play with Y? So that's a little bit of the projection. That's what you try doing. And I think another thing is those guys weren't all, you know, quote unquote, running hot at the same time. There were times when Jack Hughes was out of the lineup and Cole Caulfield played with Trevor Zegras and Caulfield was still productive. So, yes, some of those 72 goals can get credited to playing with Jack Hughes, but not all of them. He was able to produce just well on his own. And a lot of those guys were when either Hughes wasn't in the lineup or when Turcotte wasn't in the lineup or when Zegras might not have been on his A game. Those guys all produced and produced big on their own. I think that's what makes them all really good players. And yes, there is something to be said for the stats and the numbers being boosted by who they played with, but these guys have been watched and studied. They're really good players in their own right, and they would prosper no matter who they're playing with.
As we know, the top 10 of this draft is you know, full of great centers and forwards as well. But, you know, after Bowen Byram, is there one defenseman that you could see kind of jump up in the top 10 or a player that you would want to jump up and take early as far as defensemen are concerned? Is that a Victor Soderstrom or a Philip Broberg or somebody else for that matter?
Yeah, Philip Broberg is a guy I've really enjoyed watching when I've seen him. You know, the skating is just, it's phenomenal. He can do, you know, I had one scout tell me he's called it a four-way skater, where he can go forwards, backwards, laterally, left or right, with just elite levels, where he turns and he's at full speed coming out of his turns, which not a lot of guys can do. He's a phenomenally gifted skater. He's got great hockey sense. He's not even 200 pounds yet on a 6'3 frame. So there's some muscle that he's going to have to add to get bigger and get stronger. If he can hit his physical peak with that skating and the puck skills that he has a chance to be a really special player. And I know there are some scouts really, you know, they don't look too fondly on his defensive play, but I think he's a guy who can skate with the puck and dominate with the puck in a way that not a lot of defensemen can. And that's how you're going to play defense, by just holding onto the puck and carrying it and getting it out of trouble and skating it out of your defensive zone. I think Broberg's a guy, if he goes outside the top 10, I'd be very surprised. I think teams realize the skill is there. The skating is just, it's off the page. The other aspects of his game that maybe need a little bit of work, I think they'll come. I don't know if he's NHL ready this season, but with one more season in the Swedish Hockey League, I think he's got a chance to come in 2 years from now and be a really special player in the NHL.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, you think of a guy with that kind of size and the skating ability, you think he'd be a surefire top 10 pick. It seems like we're maybe overthinking it at times with Philip Broberg. But what about his Swedish counterpart as well, Soderstrom, who's got the advantage of being a right shot, and we know how coveted those are in NHL front offices. Could he be a defenseman that jumps into the top 10?
Absolutely, because he's a guy who, you know, his head for the game is so good. He's so smart, and he sees the ice so well, and his passes are pinpoint. He's a guy who understands the game. He's a much more mature, I don't know, fully formed prospect is the right way to say, because he's still just 18, but you could see what his better glimpses of what his top end is going to be versus Broberg, who's still just so raw. I think a team that gets Soderstrom is going to be very happy with him. You know, he's got a full season of SHL experience already. He's going to get at least another one next season. Yeah, he's a guy that you can already kind of see the head for the game, the poise. The offensive game is going to come. I've had scouts tell me that when they saw him at a lower level, at, you know, playing more with his age, he was a little bit more aggressive offensively. Next year, maybe you see that a little bit more, where he's willing to come out of his shell a little bit and display a little bit more of his offensive abilities, but they're there. I think, you know, Soderstrom's going to be a guy, again, much like Broberg, when he gets to the NHL and he starts to develop some maturity and gets used to the speed of the game and the smaller ice, I think he'll do very well for himself. It'll make whatever team gets him very happy.
All right, Adam, you're on Vancouver Radio here right now, so you're going to have to let us know. Who do you see the Canucks getting at number 10?
Well, in my most recent mock draft, I had them taking Vasily Podkolzin for a couple of reasons. I think Podkolzin is a guy that teams are going to be a little bit wary of because he still has 2 years left on his contract in the KHL. And, you know, whether you believe that Russia factor still exists or not, I think there are some teams that might have a little bit of a hesitation. And if all things being equal, you're going to pick the guy who you have a little bit of a who's more at hand, who's on this side of the Atlantic, who you can control a little bit more. Podkolzin definitely has the skills to be a top five pick even. I think he's got a great two-way game. The offensive numbers don't look that good, but you got to understand he played on five or six different teams this year at multiple levels, at multiple international tournaments. And when I asked him about the World Under-18s, he said he just physically ran out of gas. Go back and you look what he did in Edmonton at the Hlinka tournament when he scored, I think it was 8 goals in 7 games. That's pretty dominant. You know, he's been a captain on almost every team he's played for. He's a guy that I think somebody's going to get, and if they're patient and if they have the right approach to handling him, then they're going to be very happy. I think with where he fits in with Vancouver is you've got a couple of really good young fours that are already getting established in the league, Pettersson, Besser, Horvat. They don't need a guy who can jump right in and start playing right away. They can wait and bring him in, and in 2 years, if he comes over when that contract's up, you can slide him right in. He will be plug and play ready with a bunch of other guys who are still young enough and still dynamic enough that he'll just fit right in and be a wonderful complementary piece to the group that they have. And I think, you know, you've seen Jim Benning take chances before in the past. I think taking Elias Pettersson at number five a couple of years ago was a little bit of a reach at the time. I think it's worked out okay for the Canucks. So I think if Pod Colson is there at number 10, I think absolutely Vancouver is going to jump all over him.
Adam Kimmelman, our guest, our NHL draft coverage, entry draft coverage is brought to you by Porsche Center Vancouver on Terminal Avenue. Last one before we let you go, Adam. Last week you did a 2014 redraft, and just wanted to say, how dare you shame Jake Virtanen by not even taking him in the first round anymore?
Listen, I liked Virtanen. I think there's a lot more to his game to give. I think if I was to do this again in 5 years, I think he's got enough potential still left in the tank that if he gets the right opportunity, he could be, you know, in that top 30 if we do it again. I think he's got – I think there's more there for him to give. I don't think he's a fully formed NHL player yet. I think there's a lot more skill left there. I think he's just – I think he can be a dynamic power forward, just for whatever reason hasn't quite clicked yet. I think there's more for him to come.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of raw talent there, but it's just not all come together as of yet. Adam, really enjoyed this. I guess we'll see you here in Vancouver over the course of the week, yeah?
Absolutely. I'll be in on Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for this, Adam.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.